has a chance. Home run! Mike Piazza and the Mets lead 3-2.
Manning lobs it. Burris alone. Touchdown, New York.
Derek Jeter with one of the most unbelievable plays you will ever see by a shortstop.
On the right sideline, Houston pops out up top. Down the lane, running Duffer off the front rim and in.
Hello out there and welcome to the first ever edition of Empire State Sports Talk. It is a pleasure to be broadcast to you live on Blog Talk Radio as we bring you our New York flavored sports trash talking. I am Jason Burgos, but I am surely not alone because my co-pilot on this journey is the man known as Hollywood, or if you're nasty, baby blue, Jose Maldonado. Jose, what is up?
What is going on, man? You should know how to make a man feel special out here. But
hello. I want them to know how key and brotherly and close we are. This is a team. This is like a tag team champions here.
You ain't lying, man. All we're missing is the belts, but I'm sure we'll get those down the line, man. Oh, but this is a camaraderie here that we're bringing to the folks out here. Hello to everybody out there listening. We appreciate it. You know, we're gonna bring you a whole bunch of New York sports talk. It is an honor and a privilege to go on this venture with you, and I'm excited, man. Can't wait to get started.
All right, let's jump into it. Now, in a nutshell, our show focuses on all sorts of topics based around New York sports, the teams and the figures playing in them. We will come to you every Monday and Friday in this very time slot from 11 to 12, bringing you some silly banter and analysis from a couple of diehard New York fellows who love sports. Now, let's jump right into our first topic of conversation. Let's talk about the Yankees. I mean, this is one of the key stories. Now, I know we got football coming up soon, and we'll get to that later. But, I mean, this is a team who's right in the playoff hunt, and it's a major key story. I mean, you, of the pair of us, you are the Yankee fan. I am the unhappy, disappointed Met fan. What are you feeling about their places right now? Like, how are you feeling about their playoff strength at the moment? What do you think they're going to go?
You know, in terms of actually making the playoffs, I'm feeling pretty good thanks to the wild card. You know, they expanded that, so we got two teams that are able to get in. So I'm feeling pretty good about their chances. Once they get into the playoffs, that's where I get a little uneasy. You know what I mean? It's like, as strong as they started this year, and it was so great to see that awesome start. There was a lot of, you know, anticipation about the season, and they lived up to it. But it seems to have teetered off a little bit. A combination of the Yankees kind of going down a little bit, plus Boston heating up, unfortunately. But, you know, credit to where credit's due. Boston's been playing amazing baseball lately. In terms of the Yankees' playoff prospects, there's a few pieces that they got to solidify. I mean, you know, acquiring Sonny Gray and Jaime Garcia for the starting rotation will help with that a little bit. But there's still a lot of unknowns out there. You know, they're not as strong as they were at the beginning of the season. And it's hard to be super enthusiastic about it. But I guess we'll see once, you know, come playoff time. There's still a little bit of season left to play, and hopefully they'll heat up at the right time, you know?
I mean, the crazy thing, I guess we all knew this is going to happen anyway. I mean, the funny thing about this whole situation, again, as a disappointed Met fan, is that we all figured it would be the reverse based on the two teams going into the season. I mean, like, the Mets were the team coming off of, you know, a quote, two playoff berths. And we all know that second playoff berth, most of us diehards don't count that. But, you know, they were looking good. They have all the pieces to contend, and the Yankees looked like they were in rebuilding stages. Of course, in classic Yankee fashion, things went ahead of schedule. And, you know, they were hot, and we weren't quite sure what team they were going to be. I mean, I'm sure there's some fans, as fans do, got really fooled into, you know, the starts of Judge and Sanchez continuing to have a good year and, you know, thinking, oh, man, you know, this is going to be it. We're going to ride in high. And they've come back to reality. It's weird. Like, they had this unbelievable start, kind of went so-so, and then they had this awful June, you know, May into June, where they were just one of the wackest teams in the American League. Now they've gotten it straight. They're out of the All-Star break, but a guy like Aaron Judge is just, in the month of June, he's hitting .230. You know, he's still got 7 home runs, 13 RBIs, but he's hit the wall we all expected. I mean, you have to know this was going to happen. You know, he was going to hit a wall, and then what's even worse for them now is Gary Sanchez's defense has gone out the window. And he's having a so-so month. He had a so-so month of July, excuse me, you know, hitting .231. So, you know, I pose the question to you as a Yankee fan. Can they, I mean, right now, they are in a spot where they're ahead in the wild card, but they still have two teams close behind. First, let me ask, can they make the playoffs if Judge and Sanchez are not, you know, leading the way?
Look, I'm going to say something that Yankee fans don't want to hear. It's something unpopular that Yankee fans, you know, really just don't want to come to the realization. When it comes to Aaron Judge, as hot of a start as it was, and, you know, it's so awesome to have a player that can potentially be a franchise player of, you know, of Aaron Judge's caliber. You know, you got the Judge. He got his own section out in the outfield. He's like the face of baseball, you know, at least for a few months he was. When it comes to Aaron Judge, I'm renting, not buying.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is because, you know, there's been a ton of players that got off to amazing starts in their careers and then just the numbers just kind of teetered off. You want a good example of that? How about Gary Sanchez?
Yeah.
Last year, he got called up, you know, in August of last year, was phenomenal for the short amount of time that he was playing. You know, they were considering him for Rookie of the Year, maybe even MVP for that short amount of a window. What has he done this year? His numbers have decreased dramatically. And like you said, even his defense has gone out the window. You got to remember, he's a catcher first and foremost.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just, you know, he can't be all about the bat. Even, you know, historically offensive catchers like a Mike Piazza were at least competent behind the plate until later on in their careers. It's way too early for Gary Sanchez's defense to be petering off like that. So can the Yankees make the playoffs if they don't straighten up? They can probably make it, but it's going to hinder their chances of going far, especially when it comes to Aaron Judge. I mean, let's face it. He's been, you know, one of the big stories of baseball this year. It looks like he's falling victim to that home run derby curse, as they talk about, you know, where you kind of lose their swing. I wasn't too much of a believer of that, but this is making me a believer because ever since the home run derby, he's been kind of, you know, so-so. Like you said, he's been straightening up a little bit lately. But if those two pieces aren't producing the way that the Yankees were expecting them to, the overproducing that they were accustomed to at the beginning of this year is not going to be there in the second half and leading into the playoffs. So it's drastically going to decrease their chances.
It's so funny how, like, there is almost a belief that there is some kind of detriment by winning the home run derby. Like, we all know what happened with David Wright, especially as New Yorkers, and what happened that year. He didn't even win the thing, which is even more ridiculous.
Then you got, like, Bobby Abreu players. Like, no?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. You know, it's all, you know, it can happen. You get into kind of like a swing and you get into a mindset and, you know, it's easy. That's the funny thing about baseball compared to a lot of other sports is that it's such a finesse sport. You can get out of that sweet spot rhythm and what you're trying to do so freaking easily, and it can even happen at a home run derby. I was listening to, you know, another show talking about they made an interesting point. Maybe he just kind of got wrapped up in the hoopla of Aaron Judge frenzy at the All-Star game. I mean, he went into the All-Star game, one of the more popular players in the country. You know, everybody's talking about Aaron Judge and wants to know about Aaron Judge. You know, maybe he kind of got too involved with that and maybe lost something, or maybe the time away from maybe just resting, practicing on fundamentals, getting ready for the second half maybe hurt him. But the other thing that's interesting, and I asked you, is okay, let's say these guys are not quite where they were a month or so ago. Is Starlin Castro, who was close to coming back, is he a guy that can maybe pick up the slack for them in that you know, lacking of hitting?
Yeah, Starlin Castro is a major piece for sure. He seems to be somebody who you know, kind of has an energy to the, you know, adds an energy to the lineup. He is for good average. You know, he has some pop to his bat. At this point, they need some kind of a jolt, and maybe he could be it. You know what I mean? I think they were relying too much on pieces that were still relatively unproven, you know, like a Judge or like a Sanchez. You know, they had veterans that didn't quite pan out. You know, Matt Holliday hasn't been exactly what they expected him to be. But Starlin Castro is that X factor that they might need to just, you know, work his way into the lineup and kind of give them that life that they need going into the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, and they've surprisingly, like, what they've gotten out of other guys, like Brett Gardner's had a really good year. He's been great for them. I mean, Didi Gregorius, that the steal of a trade that was for them and giving up nothing for a young player. It's Arizona has to be so mad now that they gave up on that kid so early. I mean, is he even, I don't even think he's even, I'm not even sure if he's even 30. I don't think he's even close to 30 yet.
I don't think so. He got a lot of upside on that.
And yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people, you know, follow the sport knew, okay, they were getting a great defensive player, so that's a good thing to go. But I don't think anybody figured he'd be such a good hitter. And what's even more perfect is he's become a hitter in an era where shortstops hit like they used to. You know, they're not the A-Rods or the Garcia Parras and all these, you know, power-hitting or even Hanley Ramirez power-hitting shortstops. Like, he's putting up good numbers in general, but it's even more, like, fantastic all-star level for a shortstop. I mean, it's such a help, such a lift. You know, they got lucky in that. You know, another one is, what's this guy, the outfielder, Hicks?
Oh, yeah, Aaron Hicks.
Yeah, Hicks. Man, people were like, so many people were complaining about him. Like, oh, why is this guy getting playing time? It should be somebody else, God know, whatever. Or it should be Judge. And this, he's been so helpful for them until he got injured recently. But he's been another good guy for them. I mean, what is such a factor for them? And it's been the bullpen. And then they add David Robertson. Like, again, I thought as a fan, I was like, oh, man, thank goodness the Yankees got away from that three-headed bullpen. And I was like, oh, God, they got Robertson back. They're going to be good again. God.
The bullpen, we're relying heavily on them. Kind of like Chicago was last year with Chapman. You know, that's the way we're going to have to be with Chapman this year, kind of overuse and try to get to him to close it down. Now, he's shown some kinks in the armor, but, you know, by and large, he's a dominant closer. And then we got Betances, who on any other team would be the closer. It just so happens he's on the Yankees, so we got an ace setup man. And we got Robertson back. You know, we lost him, a couple of years ago, and all of a sudden he's back in the fold. It's, you know, the bullpen is probably our strongest asset right now. And, you know, that's one thing that we could be kind of a little bit at ease about heading into the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a good thing for them because, see, while CC Sabathia has had a better-than-expected season, I mean, Tanaka
It's a contract year for Sabathia. You knew he was going to perform.
Yeah, isn't that funny how often that happens in sports? Isn't that wonderful? I mean, same thing for Jay Bruce. You know, we'll talk about Jay Bruce a little later. Same thing for him. Walk year, unfortunately, it didn't work out like that for Jubal Cabrera and Neil Walker and several other guys for the Mets. But, yeah, I mean, he's been good for them. Wow. What's the pitcher, the young pitcher that's been doing so good for them?
Oh, is he Michael Pineda? No.
Well,
Luis Severino. There we go.
Severino, like taking that big step forward. Like, that's been a huge thing for them because Tanaka is so weird. Like, as talented as he is, he's been like, he isn't the ace, I think, that he showed in, like, that first half of his first season where he was looking like a filthy next Yu Darvish type player. I mean, he's been good, but not great. He's like a really good number two, great number three. But with Severino taking that ace spot, I mean, man, it's helped them so much. And then now you're adding Sonny Gray. I mean, at least for them, it pushes maybe Tanaka to a number three where he should be. And when you have a Sonny Gray who's a number one or number two, I mean, they strengthen it so much. You know, they got Garcia. But that bullpen, I mean, even if guys falter, you can go, I mean, how huge was that for teams like the Indians in the playoffs last year? They can, like, you're not doing too good. All right, sixth inning, we'll go to our second to best guy, and then we'll bring in Andrew Miller for a couple of innings. Like, they have that ability where they can go into the sixth inning, especially in a playoff series where, you know, you're going to use the heck out of these guys and go with some of these great bullpen guys, maybe multiple innings. And, you know, the question is, can they do that? It's one thing to do in the playoffs. Can you do it in the season? I guess you have to do it in the season because, you know, there's no turning back, so you got to make sure you get into the playoffs or not.
Yeah, first and foremost, they got to make the postseason, so, you know, pull out all the stops. You know, the good thing about it is, like you mentioned, you know, a pitcher like Tanaka, he might be getting ace money, but it's safe to say he's not an ace at this point. You know, like you said, he's probably a two or three at best. But with the pieces that they got, the Sonny Gray, the Jaime Garcia, it takes the edge off. You know, you got Sabathia. You know, this is all, of course, counting on everybody staying healthy. But with Sabathia out there, Severino looking like he's looking, you got Tanaka, you got Gray, you got Garcia. That's a five-man rotation right there. That's not even counting Pineda.
Yeah.
You know, that's enough. That should be strong enough to at least make a good playoff push, hold the top of the wild card spot, maybe even get to the top of the division if Boston starts to falter. But at least, you know, there's no serious gaps in that rotation. If everybody stays healthy, that pitching staff should be good enough to hold off, you know, any slumps or any oncoming wild card teams.
I mean, at this point, I mean, there's still a lot of time left. I mean, how many games are left in the season? So, like, the Yankees are 60-52. You know, so that's closing, like, you know, 40, 50 games still. That's still a long way, but man, I mean, they are playing so – they've been like a so-so team, up and down, kind of 500, which is good because they got such a great start. But Boston is on fire right now, 9-1 in their last 10 games, an 8-game winning streak. So it's – you know, you don't want to get too far away. They're only 4 behind, but if they can't catch up, which is fine. They weren't supposed to really be a playoff team. People were just hoping for 500 this year. So the fact that they're a legitimate – good looking in a good position to get that number one wild card to go into that playing game. Now the teams behind them are the Royals, Tampa, and Seattle. Who do you think is the best matchup for them, and who do you think is the worst possible matchup for them?
The best matchup for them, I think, would be Tampa, just because of familiarity. Don't get me wrong, Tampa Bay is such a pesky team. And, you know, it could easily backfire on us. You know, that whole familiarity thing could come back to bite us. But historically, we've been good against Tampa. But Tampa, you know, they got a real, you know, decent squad. And they added pieces like a Lucas Duda.
Yeah.
Who the, again, you know, the Mets adding by subtracting.
yes.
So they acquired Lucas Duda and his awesome Instagram account, which Curtis Granderson was so gracious to actually let go. But Tampa's a young team, and they're hungry. They're another team that is overachieving. A lot of people expected Tampa to be in rebuild mode,
yeah.
And here they are contending for a playoff spot.
Yeah.
But honestly, out of the three teams, I think they would be the best matchup. Kansas City, you know, we're what, 2-3 years removed from Kansas City winning, you know, being a World Series team.
Yeah.
And they still have some of those pieces. Eric Hosmer's in there. I do believe Eric Hosmer's still there. And then you got Seattle. Seattle would probably be my worst matchup just because I'm a little scared of Seattle. They play out in Safeco, which, you know, isn't the greatest hitter's ballpark. But that lineup is scary if you take a look. And you got Robinson Cano playing up to his contract, you know, after all these years. He's been playing phenomenal baseball lately. You got Nelson Cruz having an MVP-level type of year. Seattle, I think, would give us the most trouble. I wouldn't want them in a one-game playoff, that's for sure. I would like to see the Yankees go against Tampa in Yankee Stadium. That'd be my ideal scenario.
I'm feeling like... I think that it'd probably be the reverse for me. Like, in terms of the best match, I would actually probably rather go with Seattle because, you know, yeah, they have a good lineup. They have Cano. They have Segura. They have Kyle Seager and Cruz. But I want to make point of commonly they're disabled. This Felix Hernandez is on a 10-day DL, but really it should be like a month because he's got about 3 to 4 weeks. And I have him in fantasy, and that's killing my team. And Iwakuma is on a 60-day. Like, these are the two of their better starters for the last couple of years. Like, I can't – who's going to pitch in that game for them? Like, who's worthwhile that you feel the confidence that they can get it going to Yankee Stadium and get it done? Like, if it's a slug-off, you know, or if it's Severino versus their guy, I feel more confident that that would be the best matchup for them. And if you just – as a Seattle fan, how could you have any confidence going into New York for a playoff game to win? Like, you can. Like, you have to just go with the history and be like, oh, God. It's like the Knicks going into Chicago trying to win a deciding game. It's not going to happen. Just not going to happen.
Well, Seattle could always channel 1995 all over again. I'm still having nightmares about sliding at the whole click. You know?
The one bump in the road that ended up leading to the beginning of just the reign of terror on baseball. So, I mean, you know, so I feel like that would be their best matchup if they were them. And I don't know who out of Tampa, because they had Tampa again, surprising as always. Evan Longoria being okay, good as always. They got Sousa Jr., who's another, you know, developing a nice another young player.
You know, they got Kieran Pryor.
He's kind of like the same thing. Like, can you have confidence in Tampa Bay going in and being a Yankee? I mean, Houston did it, you know, so that doesn't mean it can't happen, especially with a young team. But it's just like, I don't know, especially, yeah, play, you know, the familiarity you just brought up. I think that probably helps the Yankees as much as anything. Yeah, divisional games in any sport are always weird, but I would be more worried about the Royals. The Royals are that weird team. The Royals are that team that they are perfectly made for an important game because they do all the right things. And as a Mets fan, I found out, well, they do all the little right things very well. And that would scare me in one game. You know, young players, you know, you might tighten up on that bat, be a little worried, unsure, nervous. You know, this, you're in front of Yankee Stadium, you have a chance to go to playoffs. These guys have been there for the Royals. You know, they know how to get the big hit. They know how to move the runner over when it's important. They know how to get the steal. And they're on fire right now. They after such a bad start, they've gotten completely on fire. I'd be scared about them because they're going into the playoffs. If they can go into the playoffs hot and with a pedigree of winning, oh, man, I'd be worried if I was a Yankee fan.
No, I mean, yeah, that's a real good point. As a Yankee fan, I'm kind of worried about all three of these teams the way we've been playing late, to be perfectly honest. But you're right about Kansas City. And like you said, they know how to do it when it counts. And that was their whole playoff run a few years ago. Nobody expected Kansas City to do anything. Then they started sweeping teams. It's like, what is this team doing? Mm. And, you know, that's carrying over that whole mentality. There's still pieces left from that team that knows how to win when it counts. So, you know, that's a real dangerous factor to consider as well.
I mean, another team is, looking at the standings, the Twins are 1.5. Like, that's another team. Let's say the Twins keep getting hot. Who's going to think the Twins are going to go into New York and win a big game? Like, come on, it's not going to happen. Like, all the Orioles are there. The Orioles ain't going to do it. Los Angeles, maybe the Angels, you got it. But it's like all the teams in contention maybe face the Yankees. Our team's like, oh, my God, they're going to play the Yankees. You know, I wonder about that.
I mean, me being Minnesota, I would worry about winning because how are you going to play, you know, October baseball up in Target Field, out in the outdoors, man? They're going to be freezing out all their teams.
I mean, that could be a weird advantage. Maybe that could turn them into like a pseudo Green Bay Packers of baseball if they could get into the playoffs. Because, yeah, it is a weird element. Maybe they play to it. Maybe they're used to it somehow. But then again, we are living in a global warming world, so it'll probably still be 70 degrees in November, even in Minnesota.
You ain't lying, man. It's not going to be the frozen tundra of Target Field, you know?
Now, moving on to a more depressing topic. The New York Mets. The New York Mets made another trade.
My condolences, good sir.
They made a trade today. Waiver deadline trade. Jay Bruce is on his way to the Cleveland Indians for the proverbial bag of balls and a pack of gum. You know, I heard a lot on talk radio today. A lot of fans upset about this particular move. Everybody kind of has to remember, as much as we thought, damn, everybody's going to want a guy like Jay Bruce. I mean, this guy's having a great year. He's in near 30 home runs. He's playing like a classic Jay Bruce year. I mean, he's had three pretty good years in a row now. And he's really, like, for a guy that was once known as just like a streaky kind of player, which he still is. He's not always consistent, but he's been consistently having all-star kind of years for 3 years now. So he's in his kind of almost prime. So you figure there's got to be high value, but honestly, there wasn't. You know, the word out was that there weren't a lot of teams interested in Jay Bruce. Yeah, there were some, but they weren't giving up a lot. So that's the unfortunate position the Mets found themselves in. They still should have and probably could have got better, but I mean, we're far removed from the Madoff stuff for the Mets, but it still seems like they aren't doing well financially, and it seemed like the selling point of this move for them was that they saved $4 million. You know, for the rest of the season. Well, and unfortunate thing is, it's like, yeah, they got rid of Jay Bruce, but it's not like they got a young outfielder they want to bring up. You know, like, Cabrera, move him out of there. You know, let TJ Rivera play. Like, Dominic Smith, they still haven't brought up yet. So it's like, yeah, I kind of didn't want to see him get traded. I'd rather have seen him stay. I kind of wish they would re-sign him for next year, but it is what it is. But hey, we've got Juan Lagares back off his 47 DL stint. I mean, that's always good.
Hey, it's good to see he's able to, you know, he's not hopping on one leg either, man. He's using both his legs. How about that?
Yeah, I know. I mean, he can run, he can catch, he can't really hit, but, you know, we got him back. Great.
I think that was the real reason they got the pack of gum in that Jay Bruce trade, just so they could attach it to, you know, Juan Lagares' limbs to kind of hold them together.
Oh, that's fair. You know, that's very good DIY kind of medicine. Now, the question is, do you think it was Bubblicious or was it Double Mint?
Gotta go with Super Bubble, man. Gotta go with that Super
Bubble. You know what? If they were to get, like, a big pack of, like, the Blow Pops that has the gum in it, and especially, like, the Super, so that's a big piece of gum. That's really worth your value right there with that.
Hey, as long as we're talking Sour Apple, man.
Oh. Sour Apple Jolly Rancher. I couldn't do Sour Apple Lollipop, but Jolly Rancher. Oh, my goodness.
You know what? Yeah, they made out pretty good on that deal, all things considered. But not this Jay Bruce deal.
Yeah, hindsight.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, little trees, they start handing it all to the kiddies in the outfield, and everybody's all good. But yeah, now this Jay Bruce deal, it's it seems like it's strictly a financial deal. It's a shame because, you know, I think Jay Bruce, you know, delivered all that he could anyway. I mean, if they were expecting like an MVP caliber player, he wasn't going to give them that. He wasn't even that in Cincinnati. He was the same streaky player that, you know, he can hit for power, wasn't exactly hitting for average, but, you know, he can provide.
Yeah.
And he was providing pretty good this year. Any team that was going to get him was going to be for a playoff push because, I mean, he's going to be a free agent. There wasn't any long-term plans. They maybe to re-sign him after that. But it makes sense for Cleveland. They could kind of stick him in there, especially with Michael Brantley going on the DL for a little bit. Mm. I guess in this scenario, this was the best that the Mets could do. And, you know, they went ahead and pulled the trigger.
I was excited when they got him last year. I was like, man, Jay Bruce and Cespedes, lefty-righty, this could be really good. And even when... you know, Jay Bruce had a rough start after the trade last year. I was like, damn, I don't mind. I don't want – when they would talk about trading him in the offseason before preseason spring training, I didn't want them to trade him. Like, I wanted to see this combination get a chance, and Bruce delivered, but then Cespedes goes and has, like, a terrible year. He can't stay healthy. He's like a more muscular Juan Lagares this year. You know, it never got to live up to hopes and expectation. You know, even almost like a back in the day when Frank Thomas and the White Sox signed Albert Bell, like, oh man, you pair these two guys together, you see what happens. And then injuries and weird things happen. One guy's a good year, one guy's a bad year. So, you know, and it's we can't forget, for us Mets fans, like, that, you know, Walker, Cabrera, Granderson are all there. All of them, along with Jay Bruce, all cleared waivers. Like, no one's jumping at the chance to get these guys because they're all making too much. I mean, Cabrera has had a terrible year after such a good year last year. Walker is, you know, aging. I still made no sense to me why they brought him back for so much money for that offer sheet last year. I mean, I'm a big TJ Rivera fan, New York guy, went to Lehman College. Like, I love to see him play. Like, all the guy does is hit. You know, he's becoming like almost like the new Evan Turner. I mean, not Evan Turner, excuse me, Justin Turner. I always get the confused. Evan Turner and Justin Turner, but Justin Turner, you know, he's the guy just hits. Yeah, he doesn't have a clear position. I mean, I would love to see him a second. You know, that would have been great. And Granderson's still here. You know, no one wants him. So, I mean, I guess at least they got something. I mean, you know, you want to trust their scouting department because they seem to have the right eye for talent. Maybe this guy is in single A that they got in a deal. Maybe he becomes something 3-4 years because God knows they need help in the bullpen. At least in some of these trades they've done, they've got young bullpen arms. So hopefully they can have a Yankees bullpen in a year or two, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. They got to do something about that, that's for sure. And I'm with you about TJ Rivera. I'd love to see him get more playing time. And you're right about Neil Walker. I think they were trying to overcompensate for letting Daniel Murphy go. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Seeing him killing for the Nationals has been, you know, it got to be salt on an open wound for that squad.
It's mind-boggling that him and Justin Turner have gone on to contenders and done with, like, if you would have put those two on this team. Now, Justin Turner, I get it. You know, they didn't really, I don't think they fully knew what they were getting with him. Like, he was
Plus, he was a third baseman, and, you know, David Wright is, like,
yeah. And that's, you know, the unfortunate thing, even for Daniel Murphy. And I was on the get rid of Daniel Murphy train. I was tired of him. The guy can't play defense good. He makes weird decisions sometime. Who thought he was going to continue this playoff run into, you know, real life and into the regular season? It's unfortunate. I love David Wright as much as any Met fan. Like, he's been so important to our franchise. One of the greats, probably the best third baseman they ever have. You know, top five maybe all time. The guy stayed here. He didn't leave. He always wanted to be a Met. He grew up a Met fan. And it's unbelievable how his existence has stopped them from keeping a Justin Turner, has stopped them from keeping a Daniel Murphy, because I'm sure they probably could have easily thought, okay, if no Dave Wright, we re-signed Daniel Murphy for what was a bargain baseman rate. He plays third. But no, like, oh, well, Dave is going to come back again next year. So, well, no, we don't need him for third. And it's like he's blocked them from keeping these kind of guys. That would have been so good because these are both those guys that are like royal players, that they get the hit, they move the runner over, they do the little things, and they've even been good in the playoffs. Like, Justin Turner killed the Mets 2 years ago. Luckily, the Mets still won the series, but it's like, oh my God, like shooting themselves in the foot would just even, they didn't have a knowing. It's not even dumb moves. It's just, it's frustrating.
Yeah, it's the truth, man. And let me ask you, as a Met fan, where do the Mets go from here? You know, what do they focus on in terms of rebuilding next year? Or, you know, do they sell off some of those some of those arms, you know, to get good pieces. What do you think is the best move?
You know, the funny thing about it is that they're not far off from being right back in it. That's the weirdest thing, and that's the crazy thing. But it's also it's very hopeful in a way. It's assuming and looking at upside, because you know, you still look at these. I mean, as disastrous as his season has been, yes, Cespedes hasn't had a good year. You know, hopefully this is just maybe an outlier, and he's back next year. He's healthy. He makes adjustments. Cabrera hasn't had a good year. You know, all these kind of things. But in the end, their hitting hasn't been a huge issue. That hasn't been the problem. Their pitching, which was supposed to be the base of their team, was the issue. And a lot of their troubles also was just injuries. Like, if you tell a team you are not going to have your best pitcher, arguably, but though there's a case to make that, honestly, maybe probably DeGrom is going the best pitcher. But even going into this year, we felt no Syndergaard's eighth. You're not going to have your best pitcher or your closer for pretty much the majority of the season. You know, your slugger is going to be hurt often. You know, all the injury they had to do, it killed them so much. So if guys are healthy, like, that's the great thing. You know, Syndergaard is so good, and Familia is he's a pretty good closer. Is he the best closer? No, he had his issues in the playoffs, but he's still a pretty good closer. He's got to get you 40 saves. You bring back a good closer. You bring back another ace. You have two aces to go with DeGrom, you know. And the questions are, what happens with Mats and Harvey? Those are becoming big question marks now, especially since Mats has just gone into this garbage period of time where he's just pitching like crap. You know, so that's the weird thing. If they have money, though, that's the different thing than years past. They are actually going to have money going into this offseason, so they actually can, you know, fix and rectify issues with the money for the first time in a long time, because Granderson, Bruce, Cabrera, Walker. I mean, imagine if also David Wright. Please, David, make the decision to retire. It's over. It's over.
Yeah. He's not the player he was 10 years ago, even 5 years ago. And like you said, you know, it's getting to a point where it's hindering the squad. I mean, you want to be loyal, but you know, but not to a fault. And you know, David Wright is they got to have a younger set of legs with a more pop in his bat, playing the hot corner. That's just the reality of it.
And yeah, he has. I mean, it's hard to tell any player this, but you almost, I mean, as a fan, you wish he makes the decision. Look, they've been loyal to you for a long time. They gave you a nice fat contract at that last time. They've given you tons of chances. They want you to come back. They're trying here, dude. You can't stay healthy. I think he's probably played like 15 games or so in the last 2 years. Like, he hasn't even played this year. He hardly played at all last year. Even 2-3 years ago now, when he went to the World Series, he missed a lot of time and came back late in the season. Yeah, he helped, but this guy can't stay healthy. He's got serious issues with his neck and his back. Like, it's over. Are you really going to come back to be a 80 to 100 games at best kind of player, holding down salary of like $20+ million to be a kind of pseudo bench player? Like, they've been loyal to you. Like, help the team out. They will give you a job in the organization. You can bet your booty. There's even rumors of maybe him becoming the manager. You know, take your money off the books, retire him. They had that money too. Come on, they have all this money. They can really make some serious move. I mean, or maybe even just make trades and take back. Maybe they can get prospect and they can get Cano. You know, the thing with Cano is his big fat contract. Maybe if they have all this money, okay, we'll take a chance. We have the money. We can pay for a guy at Cano. We'll give us some good prospect. And you add a Cano. You have Cano, a Cespedes, you know, Wilson. I mean, excuse me, Ahmed Rosario, Dominic Smith. You if they are what we believe they can be, Conforto. That, you know, that's the unfortunate thing that's got lost, is Conforto, for his inconsistencies, has had an all-star year. You know, they could be right back in, at least not maybe World Series contention like we thought going into this year, but they can be in contention for a wild card, and if not better going into next year, if they just can stay healthy and make some moves. But the other issue is we're in an era where more times than not, teams are holding on to their stars, so you don't have a lot of big-time stars going onto the free agent market like it used to.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. So, I mean, yeah, that's what we're going to. So, I guess you're not in fire sale mode just yet. And you're right, you know, you're right on that just because of the big contracts coming off the books. So, that's a good way to go.
And they, if you look at their team, they now, if you those free agents are gone, they're a relatively young team again. Conforto is a young guy. Let's say Juan Lagares, whatever. Let's say they want to go Juan Lagares. He's not in his 30s. Yes, Cespedes is an older guy. Wilmer Flores, young guy. Let's say Dominic Smith and Amir Rosario both are come up and they're going to give them opportunities to play a lot. Both super young guys, first times in the league. TJ Rivera is young. You know, they have to fix catcher. Catcher is terrible. Travis Darno, it's over too. He's done. But most of their positions are young guys. So, look at the starters. Syndergaard, DeGrom, Matt, Harvey, for all their issues with injuries, they're all young guys. Familiar, young guy. You know, so they actually, with those guys gone, they have a young team again. So there's no reason to fire Sale because they have the young chips already. They just kind of actually have to find the right veteran pieces, fix catcher and some other spots, bullpen. And also, it's going to hinge on who's the manager. I would like to see Terry Collins back, but I mean, they can be right there again. That's why this year is so frustrating.
Yeah, they were expected to do. They were the opposite of the Yankees, where you know the Yankees are exceeding expectations. The Mets have been a massive disappointment given the expectations coming into the season.
Yeah, I mean, well, moving on from baseball, we've done a lot of baseball talk. Let's talk a little bit about the Giants and the Jets preseason starts for both teams. The Giants have their preseason game tomorrow, I believe. When you're listening to this, it will be today. And the Jets have their game on Saturday. You know what? I'm a Giants fan. I would rather talk about the Giants, and we'll get to the Giants. But I'd rather talk about the Jets and how terrible they are going to be. I mean, for so many fans here in New York, for you New York fans that are listening, or maybe people that aren't New York fans, maybe checking in New York, there's so many people, oddly enough, that are Mets Jets fans. It's like a family thing. They were in the same stadium a long time ago. They have like those kind of connections. Fathers and mothers pass on to the children, the children's children. And if you're a Mets Jets fan, oh my God, right now, terrible.
It is not a good time to be an Mets fan, whether it be Mets, or Jets. But, let's just get into it, man. I mean, you know, the NFL power rankings came out, and the Giants are sitting nice at 6. The Jets at 32.
Oof.
And you know, that's
Wait, are there 33 teams in the league? Oh, no, 33.
No, and that's the only, that would be the only reason the Jets aren't 33 is because there are only 32 teams in the league. The Jets would be lower if that were the case. I mean, they really are looking that bad.
Maybe plus, we can count like the Phantom London team as 33. So they're not the worst.
You know what? The NFL has put enough games out there that, yes, we can count the London team. So technically the Jets would be 33rd, 34th if you count Alabama. So
yes. No, Alabama's probably better than some of these other teams. They're probably better than Jaguars.
Yeah, let's be real. Alabama will probably be sitting in the top 10 at this point. But the Jets are not a good team. Let's be real. There's so many question marks at quarterback. The wide receiver got hurt this week.
Quincy Anunua. I mean, they have very few good guys on offense. And the one good guy they have is done for the year. And not even like ACL and, you know, things got fixed, come back next year. He's got like a neck injury. No. What are you talking about, David Wright, neck injuries? Not this guy's got a neck injury in a business where you're putting your neck out there and getting a hit all the time.
Yep, this is potentially – he might not be the same player coming back. I mean, of course, we're wishing the best for the guy, but let's be real here. Like you said, this is not the sport where you want to be having a neck injury. This can severely hinder you. And, you know, like you said, he was maybe the one highlight that the Jets were having coming into the season, and poof, there it goes, gone just like that. So the offense is going to be – it's going to be a sight to see what the Jets are going to be like this year. I will say this. The one thing that the Jets do have pretty strong is their defensive line. You know, you got Muhammad Wilkerson out there. You know, that's a scary bunch to be coming at you in the pass rush. But outside of that, the Jets are really grasping at straws, man. And it's going to be an unfortunate season for a lot of Jets fans.
And that's the only saving grace for them. They're bound to possibly have a 0-16 year or 1-win season. I mean, the defense is the only thing helping them from possibly staving off a winless season, because they do have talent. Wilkerson and Sheldon Richardson and Leonard Williams. I mean, these are good players. I mean, they still have a coach who had a great defense in Arizona, so he knows how to coach defense. So they might have a chance, but they're probably going to run themselves ragged because the offense is going to be so terrible. They're not going to stay on the field. There'll be so many three and outs. I mean, look at this star-studded offense. Ben Ilgelana. I don't know who that is. James Carpenter, Wesley Johnson, Brian Winters. How old is that guy? Kelvin Beachum, Jordan Leggett. Who? Josh McCown at quarterback. Matt Forte is 1,000 years old. I mean, at least you got Powell, who's a pretty good player. But good Lord, I mean, this offense is going to be garbage. You lost Quincy Enunwa. Oh, my Lord.
It's going to be
Robbie Anderson?
Scary.
Who? Jalen Marshall? That's not the Marshall they want or need right now. He's on our team.
Oh, let me tell you, man. You know, whoever ends up being behind center when the season starts is going to have to play that NFL blitz offense where you have 1 second to throw the ball.
Oh,
otherwise,
my God.
It's going to be something, man. It really is.
Yeah, I think that it's pretty obvious. Maybe we're on the same way path. Like, what do Jets fans have to look forward to in the preseason? Like, I mean, honestly, the preseason is really going to be like the season, and they're just going to be watching the season for probably development. You probably don't need to watch the preseason, honestly. It's just going to be a horror show. But is this a season just watching for development? You hoping, you know, that these quarterbacks and one of these guys like and Hackenberg or Bryce Petty finally take some step forward, and if you need to draft the number one pick next year, I mean, is that what their whole season is about at this point?
I think that's the reality of it, man. I mean, you know, when it comes to the preseason, I think what they got to be looking out for is a diamond in the rough, you know, just some kind of a breakout player, something to grab onto and maybe develop that way, because they're not looking good at all. You know, I know, like we said, you know, the one piece that they had is kind of thrown them into disarray. That's when they're going to have to look forward to. It's going to be a development year. If I guess the best part about that is that people aren't expecting much. So if they happen to overachieve, it won't take much to overachieve.
Yeah.
And you know, and also they're in a tough division. I mean, you know, Buffalo's going to be Buffalo, but Miami, you know, they got Jay Cutler out there. That's a question mark. And then you got, of course, you know, the top of the heap with the Patriots, the Jets. Have to temper, you know, and Jets fans have to really temper their expectations this year and hope that in the next 2 to 3 years they can kind of get a direction, because this just feels like a franchise that has been looking for a direction. I mean, we're what, maybe 5 or 6 years removed from 2 straight AFC championship games.
Yeah.
And here they're sitting at, we're over here talking about things like 0-16, 32nd in the power rankings. You know, this is a very real possibility for this Jets team on paper. Now, can they exceed that? That's completely up to them and whatever players are willing to step up.
And I always talk to, when I talk to fans or, you know, friends about the Jets, I always remember when Hackenberg got drafted. I've never seen this before in my entire life of watching NFL draft. When you draft a player, the analysts on the podium talk about, oh, he's great, he's like this guy, he's like that guy. They show these highlights, he's throwing the ball far, guys are catching it, everybody's looking amazing. He was the first guy I've ever seen when they showed highlights. His highlights were bad. They were showing you, like, he's got issues. Like, they were showing you him overthrowing people or throwing an interception. I was like,
Wait, aren't we talking about Mark Sanchez right now?
At least Mark Sanchez, they show good highlights. The only bump, oh, you know, maybe he's not ready yet. Maybe he's coming out too early. But at least he was showing, you know, touchdowns and, you know, near national championship hopes and whatever in his year. Like, Hackenberg, they're just showing him messing up. I was like, damn, like, what kind of project is this guy that they're showing you? Like, you know, he's got some issues, but maybe we can work it out if everything goes right.
It got to be the old rope-a-dope, man. They're showing us the bad stuff, so when he starts to do good, aha, he doesn't turn.
Aha! Aha!
I mean, yes, we've got some Coming to America love here.
There you go. I mean, but moving on from the horror show that is the New York Jetropolitans, moving on to the Giants, a legitimate title contender. And, you know, you don't want to get too hopeful. You know, football is a weird sport, you know. Teams are good 1 year, bad the next, other way bad, good. It's always unsure. Unless you're the Patriots or maybe even the Steelers, it's just never the same. Well, whatever team Peyton Manning was on at the time. But, I mean, a lot of hopes, you know, a serious contender. I think it feels like the only thing, like, as a Giants, at least for me, I'm just hoping for health. Just guys get through the preseason healthy, and we'll see where everybody's at week one, and we'll get the show going.
Yeah, no, that's the truth. You know, the Giants are looking good on paper, at least.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this. I think the Giants season, a lot of it is going to depend on what else happens in the NFC East. You know, teams, you know, let's start with the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, last year they were 13-3. People were talking about a renaissance year. But Giants fans love bringing up that record. And why is that? Because out of the 3 losses, 2 of them were to the Giants.
Yep.
And, you know, the Giants, by all accounts, have improved this year. They added Brandon Marshall to the wide receiver core. You know, Eli Manning has a strong offensive line, at least they're hoping, and he's going to need it because we're talking about Eli Manning. He's no spring chicken here.
Yeah.
But the Giants, have the pieces to be a legit title contender. And, you know, the other team in the division, you got the Philadelphia Eagles, you know, Carson Wentz, you know, the legend of Carson Wentz that continues to grow out in Philadelphia. Is he going to be for real, or is he going to be, you know, somebody who just teeters off after 1 year, like RG3?
Yeah.
The Giants legitimately have a shot here. The NFC is kind of wide open right now. I mean, you got some really strong teams out there. Can the Falcons do what they did last year, or are they going to fall to the wayside, kind of like Carolina did? Seattle's always in the hunt. But the Giants have a really, really, really realistic chance. You know, if I'm a Giants fan, I'm feeling pretty good about my chances right now. And, you know, you being a strong Giants fan, you let me know how you're feeling about it, man.
I mean, I feel good. I feel good about them last year, better than some other people did. But, it's like when you feel good in sports, that's when it goes all wrong. But, I mean, and it's the biggest – that's going to be the story of the season, especially the preseason. Honestly, that's probably the story of the preseason too, with staying healthy, is that for a team that has the likes of, you know, Odell Beckham, Brandon Marshall, Eli Manning, Jason Pierre-Paul, now Landon Collins is another star player, you got Snacks Harrison, you got all these good players – but it's going to be all about that offensive line. If that offensive line can really show something, stay healthy, and just be fine. They don't need to be good. They just need to be fine. And they can develop a running game at all. It's going to be huge for them. I mean, this is a team that scored 19 a game, you know, gave up 18. So, you know, their offense was a huge issue last year, even with all the talent. They added talent now with the first-round draft pick, Evan Engram. But that line, I mean, this is a line – you know, I made fun of the Jets line. The Giants line has talent, but it hasn't been spectacular. Ereck Flowers, solid first year. Beck's big step back last year. Now there's questions about him. You know, Justin Pugh is the only solid player. They're really, really good player, like Pro Bowl caliber kind of player. You know, Weston Richburg, fine. John Jerry, you know, Bobby Hart. You know, they got DJ Fluker, so DJ Fluker should probably be starting. But, I mean, they have a very questionable line. That's going to be a huge issue. If they can just be okay, this is a team. Because we've seen the Packers with Brett and, with Aaron Rodgers now. Of course, different kind of player. But, you know, a team that didn't have a great line, they were fine. They did enough. And then when a time, even the Giants, when they've won a title, they didn't have a great line. They just are guys that work well together. You know, they gelled and they did what they had to do. They were competent at their job. And that's all they need. They just need competent.
Yeah, for sure. You know, they just need like fluidity. They really got to work as a unit and just kind of get their stuff together. They can't be any kinks in that armor. You know what I mean? Eli Manning wants to win. You know, he's a winner. He has it in his blood. Just ask his brother Peyton. But, you know, I'm sure he doesn't want to go out on a team that, you know, underproduces or anything like that. And he has the tools. You know, you got Odell Beckham out there. You got Brandon Marshall in the mix. You got plenty of receivers to throw it to. All you got to do is stay upright. And that all depends on the offensive line. You know, can they protect the man? You know what I mean? It's like you said, you don't want to get too excited about their chances. But, you know, the way that they've lined up, they should be a contender. And I guess we'll see. I guess we'll see soon enough.
And I mean, last year, they were already a basic kind of line last year, but they had injuries too, like to lose your best offensive lineman during the season, it killed them, you know. So if they can't stay healthy, it's going to be the same issue again. As weird and disappointing as Eli's season was, I still think he has something left in the tank. I still think he can probably pop out another good season. I mean, we saw it in that playoff game. He wasn't the problem. He actually was looking great. I mean, I was amazed that that was the best he looked all season. He brought his best in the best, biggest game. I mean, it wasn't him. You know, he wasn't the issue in that game. So I still think he has enough left despite his season last year. But that line, that's going to be huge. I mean, also, if they can develop some kind of running game. I like Paul Perkins. I feel he can make a difference in this team, you know. And Rashad Jennings just disappointed. I was happy when they signed Rashad Jennings. I thought he was going to be a good signing. And it seems they picked him up right after his little bit of, like, real prime years were gone. Like, they got post-prime Rashad Jennings, who didn't have a burst at the line, didn't have much of a shaking juke move, you know, looking to bring us some NFL game day stuff here. And he wasn't the key addition we all thought he was going to be. So hopefully Paul Perkins can be the guy. And in an era, it seems like, where running backs are get so beat up, and there's few anomalies like Adrian Peterson that are good players for more than 6-7 years. Like, get them while they're young, get them while they're, you know, full of life and vigor and strong and healthy, and maximize that talent for a few years, because by three, four, five, the pounding on these guys, they just decline, and it's not the same. So we try to get something out of this running game now. But, I mean, moving on to that, from that, I wanted to talk a little Knicks before we wrap things up. Oh, what a big news in Knicks land today. The Knicks and the 76ers on Christmas Day. I'm sure everybody's going to be watching that game, right?
Oh, yeah. Merry Christmas to all. You get two... two of the worst franchises from the last couple of years playing on Christmas Day. But to be fair, at least one of those teams is looking pretty good.
Exactly. Exactly. And it ain't the team in New York. It ain't that one.
That's for damn sure. They're barely a team at this point. They're just a bunch of players waiting to find out what positions they're playing.
I'll continue.
Oh, no, I'm just saying it's a lot of uncertainty going on with the Knicks right now, to say the least. But hopefully some of those questions will get petered out pretty soon.
It's a damn shame. Like, I don't know what to think. I mean, I am fully in the section of I want Carmelo to go. I'm so tired of Carmelo. I really feel he's just he's like the rich man Stephon Marbury in terms of the New York star, the New York guy, whatever, who wanted to be here, comes back and just disappoints on such a mass level. Like, Stephon Marbury's run was just full of terrible seasons. And Carmelo...
Some strong words.
He came to the team when they had Amari, they were a young, up-and-coming team with some upside. He came to the team and they had issues. They had to get it going and finally made the playoffs. I mean, other than that one great year, the Carmelo Anthony run has completely disappointed. You know, a lot of people want to make excuses for him. There's so many Carmelo lovers that make excuses because they're probably from a generation that didn't like us, that didn't see those 90s Knicks teams that had one good player, one great player, and they still were in the playoffs every single year with the likes of Anthony Mason, John Starks, Charles Oakley, not a damn all-star in the bunch, but they made the playoffs every year. I'm not even asking you for titles, Carmelo. I'm asking you to get me to the playoffs, bro. You can't even, like, I get it. Like, people say, LeBron, he's a special player. He makes everybody better. Okay, everybody can't be LeBron, but LeBron's playing for titles. He's that special. Bro, get me in the playoffs. And he's been in Eastern Conferences that were whack. You can't even get me in the playoffs. And the defenders of him, like, it's the coach. The coach is blah, blah, blah. So you're telling me, when he was in Denver, and he had George Karl, one of the most winningest coaches of all time. So that's what we need from Carmelo. If Carmelo gets an all-time Hall of Famer, then we can get to the playoffs and lose in the first round. Great. That's what I mean. So if we don't have a superstar coach, this is what we're going to get. Playoff years with Carmelo? I mean, this has been a disappointment. It's been a huge disaster. I can say without a shadow of a doubt, of all the teams I love in all my sports, of the great players that have been on them, he's probably the one I dislike the most.
That is a strong statement right there, but it's one that's hard to disagree with, man. Let me tell you something. I got love for Melo. I think he's one of the great scorers in the game still to this day. The thing is, he's just all right. Here's the thing that got me off the Melo bandwagon. All right, and a lot of New Yorkers are asking themselves the same question. For the longest time, the problem seemed to be Phil Jackson, right? You know, at least according to Carmelo, Phil Jackson, the way he's running the team, the things he's saying under his breath, the things he's getting his people to say, are the problem that's driving a wedge in this team. All right, so Phil Jackson goes, and what's one of the first things that Carmelo Anthony does when Phil Jackson is gone? All right, I want to trade. You know, how do you explain that? All right, if Phil Jackson was the problem, we remove that problem and you still want to go, then what was all this hoopla? What were they bending over backwards? You know, what was all this drama even for? And now that he's actually, you know, pretty much, you know, asking for a trade, the Knicks aren't going to make a bad deal. There's not a whole lot of demand for Melo, at least, you know, not for the pieces that the Knicks are looking for. Mm-hmm. You know, if he's going to go to Cleveland's going to ask for Porzingis. And I'm sorry that if the Knicks, I mean, if, I'm sorry. And then the Rockets are a potential here. That's his primary destination. But then you got the Ryan Anderson contract over there with Houston. That's kind of it's going to have to involve a third team. you know, it's a very complicated scenario. And Carmelo having that no-trade clause is really complicating things. You know, for somebody who was all about, I want to be a Knick, I want to do what's best for the team.
Yep.
It's not showing in his actions. It's all words. You know, it's all empty words at this point.
Because it's nonsense. It's always been about Carmelo. It'll always be about Carmelo. Like, he's turned us into the Nuggets. He's doing what he did to them to us. Like, he's forcing where he wants to go. And it's all about the money. Like, the crazy thing is, okay, the latest rumors were that he doesn't want to go to Houston. I mean, he doesn't want to go to Cleveland. He wants to just only go to Houston. Why? Why don't you want to go to Cleveland? Like, okay, what are you going to be? Like, oh, I'd rather live in Houston over Cleveland or whatever. Cleveland ain't Montana. And one, you're going to go play with LeBron. Oh, well, the rumors are LeBron might leave next year. So what? You can opt out. He has an opt out. Go play with LeBron for 1 year. This might be your best chance ever in a weaker conference. Because I don't know if you noticed, bro, the Warriors are in the other conference. The Spurs, Paul George went to OKC. The West is the harder place to go. I don't care. Chris Paul, and James Harden, there's only one basketball. When they start having two baskets and two balls, maybe that'll be a great team. But you have a chance to go to Cleveland. That's an issue. It's like, so this is going to make Knicks fans, I think, turn on him. Because now Knicks fans know, whoa, Kyrie Irving's available? Maybe we have some chips like Carmelo and then Lakina and draft picks to maybe get that guy. But what's the holdup? Oh, Carmelo doesn't want to go and play with the greatest player on the planet, who he says is one of his best friends that he's pining to play with for years. Now he doesn't want to play with them? So it's like, and part of maybe he doesn't want to play with him is because maybe he'd rather stay in Houston because he wants to opt in so he can get paid again. Bro, if you opt out, you're still going to get $20-something million. They throw in $20 million deals everybody. Courtney Lee's making 13. And what's this guy? Tim Hardaway Jr. is making $16 million. Man, you're going to get like 25, no problem.
Let me tell you something. The amount of money that basketball players are making is criminal, man. Dude, I'm gonna stand outside of Madison Square Garden with my cup out. Like, yo, come on. Give up a couple of hundred, man. But yeah, I mean, I will say this about Carmelo going to Cleveland. If you look at that team, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense because then you still got Kevin Love there.
Well, yeah, he would have to go in a deal. I mean, for sure. If Kevin Love's there, they have to probably move in. That was one of the rumors. Like, you know, they were going to involve Phoenix. And like Bledsoe and Carmelo would go to the Cavs. Carmelo, I think the Phoenix would get Love, and I forget who the Knicks were gonna get. Maybe it was Irving or something like that. But yeah, they would have to move Love for sure, which I don't think they'd be against because they could probably maybe play Carmelo at power forward, which a lot of people have pined and wanted, you know. So, and moving Kevin Love, I mean they can't have Carmelo and Kevin Love trying to play defense on the same court.
No, they cannot at all. And you know what? Yeah, that'd be one thing. But, you know, I'm sure Carmelo's looking at Kyrie Irving demanding a trade. And that team doesn't exactly look so great all of a sudden. Now, you're right. He'd be playing with LeBron, the greatest player on the planet. I'm sorry, you know, to fans of any of the other players, but LeBron is where it's at. You know, the numbers just speak for themselves. But the team would not be as good with Melo going there, Kyrie leaving, and Kevin Love leaving. I mean, you got Tristan Thompson if he sticks around at center. But who's going to be playing the point? I mean, you know, they just signed Derrick Rose. Yeah. We all know how that went last year with the Knicks. It wasn't exactly the greatest collaboration either. So, but with Carmelo not going to Cleveland, you know, I mean, it would be great for the Knicks. But I can kind of see Melo's point in not wanting to go to Cleveland. But he needs to expand that list. A team like Portland looks pretty attractive. You got CJ McCollum out there. You got Damian Lillard looking awesome out there. Melo could be that third piece to help get Portland a little bit closer to that title run. Why can't he look at Portland? I mean, I understand, you know, Portland isn't exactly, you know, the hottest city in the world, but, you know, he really needs to kind of be a little more open to options. I understand he wants to go to Houston, but like you mentioned, you know, there's only one basketball there. You got Carmelo Anthony, who had the fourth most isolation plays last year. Who was first on that list? James Harden. Ugh. How's that going to make sense? You know what I mean? It's like Chris Paul is a great distributor. I mean, he's making... Mm-hmm. He's one of the great passers in the game, maybe the best one out there. But, you know, how's that going to be? You know, they can't score 130, 140 points every night. It's just not realistic and contain that. They showed that in the playoffs. I mean, Houston was a great regular season team last year, but when they got to the playoffs, they showed the kinks in the armor, and I don't think Carmelo's going to correct a lot of that. So, you know, me being him, you have to be a little more realistic about your options, where you're at in your career, what's beneficial to the team that has been good to you in terms of trying to, you know, put a team around you at least. I mean, yeah, Phil Jackson was Phil Jackson, but, you know, the Knicks sold the farm to bring Carmelo in.
Yep.
He's been here for a few seasons, and outside of one great season that they had, it's been, like you said, a major disappointment. So I think he needs to, you know, be a little more open to what's out there and trying to at least do right by the Knicks at least a little bit in this regard.
Especially when you have the ability to opt out. Like, I mean, yeah, I get it with players. You never want to take a chance. You never know. Injuries can happen. The family thing doesn't want to be too far away from son. It's 1 year. It's 1 year to take a chance to maybe really contend for a title. And that's why I don't think for him it's really about titles. It's really about Carmelo. He's fine. You know, this is the same guy who once said winning the gold medal was as good as winning an NBA title. Come on! Come on! No, it is not. That's you saying, oh, I ain't going to win titles. I'm going to get my money, but at least I got the gold medal. You and like 10 other All-Stars only got a title other than LeBron.
That's him saying that because he got three of them. That's the only reason he's saying that the gold medal is equipped to the NBA title. Let me tell you something, man. That's just nonsense. He wants an NBA title. And, you know, Houston might bring him a little bit closer, but, yo, dude, like you said, he doesn't want to go out west. He wants none of that.
Yeah.
Nobody does. I mean, you know, Paul went out to OKC. Let me tell you something. As good as OKC is going to be with Russell Westbrook and Paul George, you know, you guys still got the Spurs out there looking good, and you got Golden State. If I'm a star caliber player in the NBA right now, I'm gonna want to stay in the East. The East is where it's at. The East is where you have the most opportunity. Cleveland is looking vulnerable with Kyrie Irving looking to leave, and who else is out there? Boston is looking strong. That's one thing. Toronto's looking all right, but I mean, you know, you want opportunity. Stay in the East and try to, you know, make your name there. At the very least, you can get to the finals and get a shot at the Warriors, or if somebody else takes them down, that's the route to go.
Yeah, no, I agree. But that is it. Man, that was a quick hour. Went by real quick. That is our show. We will be back in the same spot on Monday afternoon, 11 to 12. Now, Jose, is there any you want to give the people that are listening a way to follow you? They like your ideas. They want to learn more about you. The Twitter, the Instagram, the Facebook, anything like that?
Well, you can put out some smoke signals. You know, mm-hmm. The sky seems pretty clear, and that's of the course. Way to contact. Uh-huh. But now, if you want to hit me up on the Twitter, I'm at Stickman Cinema. Also at Stickman Cinema on Facebook. Those are the best ways to reach me. Please hit me up. I'd love to chat. Any New York sports, any sports in general, any feedback on the show, love to hear from you.
And you can find me on Twitter at Cheap Seats Chat, Instagram Jericho Vendetta, on Facebook just look me up, Jason Burgos. Say what's up. You can also look up some of my writing. I write for senior editor for MMAsucker.com for all those MMA heads out there, and there's a lot of them in New York. So that is our show for tonight. Thank you for listening. We'll be back in a couple days. Maybe talk some Paul Malignaggi and Floyd Mayweather. See how the Giants and Jets did on their first preseason games. The Yankees probably won. The Mets probably lost. I'll probably be mad. See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.